Amen. Good singing. Thank you. Let's turn together to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. We'll start at verse 1 and then drop to 18 through 20. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, here's the command now, be imitators of God as beloved children. Now drop down to 18. Do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The word of the Lord to us this morning. Congregation, we have attempted to go for a walk with the Lord. We began some weeks ago from verse 1, being commanded to go and imitate God. What a command. Wow. It's overwhelming. Naturally, we asked, what does that mean? And how do I do it? Well, the answer given from the text was to go for a walk. So we went for a walk. We've been walking along here. And I know it's been some weeks since we've been able to be in Ephesians 5. So let's just review a moment where we've been walking and what we've been walking in. It started out in the text that if we're going to be imitators of God, we're going to have to walk in love. That was the first one. Doesn't surprise us. Here's the heart of God. Walk in love. Live in such a way that the love of God flows into you and then out to others. We have not this love from ourselves. We learned that, didn't we? It doesn't flow from our hearts. Our hearts are broken, are filled with sin, self-focused. We don't do this. So we need God to help us do this. So right away we learned a principle here. If we're going to imitate God, God's going to have to help us fully, totally. At the end of the day, we are not going to be able to pat ourselves on the back and say, wow, what a great job you're doing. No, it's, Lord, what a amazing job you're doing. God's love comes to the born-again believer and seeks to flow out to others. This love says, I care for you. I value you. I will sacrifice for you. That's this biblical love. I want what's best for you. For you, you. So it's you with this. This is why the love of God flowing through us will always seek to communicate the salvation found in the Lord Jesus Christ to others. That's because that's the best way to love someone, is to point them to, direct them to, lead them to Jesus Christ in the Word of God. I want what's best for you. So what's best for you is Jesus. The second walk we went on, again, not surprising, was that we were called to walk in purity. Remember that? Without purity, no man shall see the Lord. So we've got to have Jesus Christ cover us in His purity and righteousness. It's imperative that Christ is covering us. There's no other way to come into the holy, awesome presence of God. My own heart will never image the purity of God. To walk with God absolutely requires us to seek holiness, purity, righteousness, goodness. There's no shortcut here. Got to do it. We must be a congregation of purity in this sexually immoral world that is ever increasing in its militant battle against the radiant beauty of God's holiness. The third walk we went on was to walk in light, live out your life in the light of Christ shining upon us. Boys and girls, did everybody put those glasses on this week and look at the sun, right? And what did we see? We saw the moon moving in front of the sun, and it started to get a little dark. Now, you know, it was amazing to me that it didn't get more dark, considering as I was watching how much of the moon covered up the sun. But that moon was, I thought about that, I thought, that's just like my sin nature. I cover up the glorious beauty of the sun. Did you feel it? It even started to get a little cooler just because the sun was covered up. Walk in the light. Then we had walk in the wisdom. Learn how to have situational insight. That's the two words that just have stuck with me from that sermon. I've got to learn to look at this situation and have insight on how to deal with it, because not every situation is the same, and I'm going to need a bucket of wisdom to figure out how to deal with this, because this is different than this. So I need God's wisdom. God is so wise. He does not do foolishness. I need to learn this. And the text motivated us by saying, you've got to walk wisely because the days are evil. Don't be messing around. This is serious business. Now today, from verse 18, 19, 20, we seek to learn what it is to walk with music, in melody. And then, Lord willing, next week, Sunday morning, we'll go for one last walk, and that's the walk of submission. So we begin with our walk with melodious singing and harmonious vocal joy by putting our foot in a garbage can a minute. Can you look at the text? Look at verse 18. Let's put our foot in the garbage can here. Oh boy. And then we'll move out of the garbage can to the heights of heavenly music. But first, we've got to look here. So let's put our foot in the word debauchery. I don't know what translation you're using, but that's the word that the ESV uses. Good translation. Debauchery. But it's certainly not a word we use very much, is it? Don't get drunk with wine, for that is something. If you're drunk with wine, right? That's debauchery. So there, it's defined for us. Let me try to help us with it. It's an extreme, immoral indulgence in bodily practices or pleasures, and especially sexual pleasures, usually with the aid of drugs or alcohol, etc., etc. So to be drunk with wine is an extreme, immoral indulgence. And it could lead, it'll lead to further extreme immoral indulgence. Now, I asked myself, tried to think some back before I became a Christian. What drives a man to drink? Why go out and get drunk? Why did I do that? Maybe some of you can relate with that. Young people, I hope you're able to come to my age and say, you know what, when I look back, I never got drunk. Because I'll tell you, I look back and there were times I was more than a little drunk. It wasn't good. Don't even go there. It's you talk about foolishness, that's foolishness. It's debauchery, that's the word here. Extreme immoral indulgence. I mean, it's so foolish. But I ask myself, why did I do that? Why does the world do that? Well, I'll give you three reasons. One, I thought it would change my pain and give me joy in place of it. Okay? So I was hurting. So what do you do when you're hurting? You want to get rid of the hurt. You want to trade it. And so what do? Well, go out and get yourself some beer. That'll solve everything, right? No. Because, see, what's happening is pain has control. And I was hurting. I was being controlled, if that's the word, by pain. And so you go out and get drunk. You try to take over the control of pain with the alcohol. And maybe that'll remove it. Or marijuana. I guess we don't use the word marijuana anymore. I don't see that on the billboards. I don't know what cannabis means. But I saw we replaced the name. I guess it sounds better. I don't know. So why do we get drunk? To change pain into joy. Second reason? Well, to heighten joy into greater joy. Right? Okay, so we're having a party. Everybody's having a good time. Everybody's, you know, so what do we do? Well, let's try to have a really good time. And so again, here we go. Start pouring in the alcohol. Well, so I have this desire for joy, and that has control. Alcohol didn't satisfy that either. Oh, it did for a moment. Let's not kid ourselves on that one. Oh, yeah, that's fun. For a little while. Until the morning comes. You been there? A third reason, I was thinking about why I drink. A third reason, to satisfy the pressure from my peers, my peer pressure. You know, you go out to a party, everybody's drinking, so what are you supposed to do? Well, start drinking. So it's peer pressure. So again, I'm being controlled now by peer pressure. But any honest evaluation of seeking joy from alcohol or drugs, listen, you're going to have to report, if you're going to be honest, it doesn't work. It doesn't work. So, what will help with our need for pain relief and for our desire for joy to increase? So now we have the beauty of the text, okay? So can we get our foot out of this debauchery thing and get ourselves walking with something so wonderful, so beautiful? That's the next phrase. Don't be drunk with wine, which is debauchery, but, here's the but, another one, circle it, but, what? Be, this is a command, be filled with the Spirit. Now that's beautiful. Be filled with the Spirit. Okay, nice phrase. What does that mean? Oh, we'll try to put our arms around it here a minute. To be filled with the Spirit means to be captivated by and fully satisfied by the joy and love that flows amongst the Trinity, the triune God that we have, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, have such a love, have such a joy, have such a peace amongst themselves, that's what flows now into a believer. And when we are so captivated, held by, and led by, and blessed by, it fills us with Him. And then, what do we do with this as we're being filled? What do we do with it? This is a key. What do we do with it? We share it. It's got to flow through us. If all that's happening is the love of God is flowing into me and I'm keeping it to myself, I don't know the love of God, because that's not the love of God. The love of God is always sharing and caring. So I need to be open and fill it and share it with others, because the more I open up the valve to release it, the more comes in. So by returning this love to God through delighted worship and also sacrificial service to my neighbor, I am filled by the Spirit. The way to be filled with the Spirit is by faith, by trusting God. And again, I know, congregation, I'm a worn-out record on this. I've often mentioned to you that Jerry Bridges wrote this wonderful book, Trusting God Even When Life Hurts, Trusting God Even When Life Hurts. Best Bible study I ever did on suffering and struggling and hurting and pain. Best study I ever did, Jerry Bridges. He says there's three things. I've said this to you many times, I'm sorry. Here I go again. There's three things that we need to trust. To be filled with the Spirit, to walk with God in dark times. Trust that God, that the God of hope, sovereignly rules over every detail of my life. So that's one thing I've got to believe. I've got to trust this. He is sovereign. He is in control. He is in charge. So when I'm hurting, what do I need to do? I got to reflect on the fact God's in control. Second thing, I need to trust that He deeply loves and cares for me. I need to trust that He is wise, third thing, in all His dealings with me. He knows exactly what He's doing. So I hope you believe today that God sovereignly reigns over your life, cares for you, and is wise in all His dealings. Because if you're struggling with one of those, or two of those, or maybe all three of those, I'll tell you, we'll know it by how you're singing, by what's coming out of you. Is it joy? Is it peace? Because you know He's in control, you know He loves you, and you know He's wise. Or you're not trusting that, and you're withdrawing your worship. You're withdrawing your love for others, care for others. You're just becoming self-focused. So this is the three-legged stool to rest upon as we travel the rough paths of life. If you're going to go down a rough path, and you want to sit down a minute, you're going to do it best on a three-legged stool. It's going to get settled. That's the three-legged stool that Jerry Bridges teaches. In your walk with Jesus, you will be filled or experience the power of the Holy Spirit, and His joy will flow through you to others when you trust in Him. So how do I get filled with the Spirit? By trusting in Him, praying for this, asking for this. As a believer, I'm always sealed with the Holy Spirit. So let's not get our theology wrong here a minute. It's not that I'm getting filled by the Spirit because I don't have the Spirit of God, or now I only got 10% of the Spirit of God, or it's not that I need to have, like our charismatic brothers teach, some second experience with the Holy Spirit. That's not what being filled with the Holy Spirit is. So what being filled by the Holy Spirit is to be so satisfied with Him and so captivated by Him and His joy and His love that's flowing in me from the Godhead, that I'm now at peace. I don't need alcohol. I don't need to get drunk to escape something or to experience something. I have all that I need in Christ. And so those things just fall away. But as a believer, I'm always sealed with the Holy Spirit. Salvation, filling of the Holy Spirit, comes at the time of my salvation, referred to often, right, as being baptized by the Holy Spirit. But to be filled with the Spirit, this is a sanctifying filling, not to be understood as some kind of second experience with the Holy Spirit. So there's two commands before us. Don't get drunk with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. Do you trust that God will satisfy your God-created desire to know Him? He will. Do you trust that God will satisfy your God-created desire for joy? Your desire for joy is a God-created desire. To be like Him is to have joy. Now, what's the context of these two commands, these two comparisons? Is it the bar? You know, are we on South Division Avenue in some old, dark, dingy bar? And the church? Oh, okay, could be, perhaps. But I think in the text, the comparison is the two worship centers in Ephesus. You remember the first worship center in Ephesus? It is so amazing that it's called one of the seven wonders of the world. This place was amazing, not to mention just in architecture, but all the elements of debauchery are going on there. It's like Hollywood and all rolled up into one. One worship center, seven wonders of the world. The goddess Artemis is worshipped there. What a spiritual place of dark depravity. Vast throngs of people traveling there to take part in the religious orgies that were the elements of their worship. The focus in this setting is self-indulgence and trying to get greater joy. But there's a second worship center in this town of Ephesus. If you go down the streets, you'll find it. It's the gathering of a few new Christians. Perhaps it's in their home. Perhaps it's in the back shed. Perhaps it's down the path to the barn. I don't know quite know where, but there's not vast throngs going there, but there's some people going there. And at this worship center, there is indeed this joy. It's on their faces. They're delighting in God. They're delighting in life. They're delighting with each other. And just being together, helping each other, serving each other, sacrificing for each other. They'd do anything for each other. There is, in this gathering place, a speaking one to another, where the vocabulary is filled with the Word of God. The speech uses the psalms, it uses the hymns, it uses the spiritual songs. The talk is like music to our ears. There is singing. They are making melody to the Lord from their hearts. They are giving thanks always for everything to God the Father. They're a thankful bunch. They're not complaining. They're thankful. They are submitting one to another. There isn't seemingly any kind of overbearing hierarchy. Oh, there's leadership to be sure, but it's done out of love and care. There is this evidence that they are filled with the Spirit. They're flowing out with the Spirit of God, speaking the Word of God to one another, singing the Word of God to the Lord, making melody to the Lord. Godly, Christ-centered singing is melodious. It lifts us up. That's the atmosphere in this worship center. There's the giving of thanks always to God. There's this submitting one to another. In this text, to be filled with the Spirit results in walking in melodious music. That's so pleasant, so encouraging. Addressing, speaking. You see the text? I'll read it again. Addressing one another. ESV says addressing. A little hard to translate this. It's speaking, it's singing, it's sharing, it's... What are we sharing? What do we sing? Psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. Oh, and they're singing, and they're making melody to the Lord with their heart. They're giving thanks. And then verse 21, submitting. All these ing words. Being filled with the Spirit leads us to do these ing words. Addressing. Singing is addressed both to other people and to God. The fact that we are singing to the Lord to magnify His glory makes it worship. The fact that we are singing to be heard by each other makes it corporate. So we call it what? Corporate worship. That's what we're about here right now, aren't we? Held with the two bookends of the greeting of God and the benediction. What's happening here? We're corporately worshiping God. That's what's happening. And in the corporate worship, we're sharing with one another, caring for one another. So, if you take your psalm book out a minute, take your song book out. Take your song book out. Some songs address God. Turn to number 408. 408. Did you ever sing this song? Of course you've sung this song. You've sung this song so many times you probably got it memorized. Great is thy faithfulness. Who are we talking to here? Oh God, my Father. That's who we're singing to. This song is a direct singing to God our Father. You see it, right? When we stand to sing, great is thy faithfulness, we're speaking to the Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Just like, I'll just read it here. Psalm 100. I don't know which one you want to pick, but I'll pick Psalm 102. Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Let my cry come to you. Who's the psalmist talking to? He's talking directly to God. Do not hide your face from me in the days of my distress. Incline your ear to me. He's hurting in Psalm 102, and he's crying out to God, speaking directly to God. And so some of our music speaks directly to God. But then some songs address each other. We're like talking to each other, addressing each other. Think of this. Turn to 464 in your hymn book. Christian, dost thou see them on the holy ground? How the powers of darkness compass thee around? Christian, up and smite them, counting gain but loss. Smite them, Christ is with thee, soldier of the cross. What are we doing here singing this song? This song is not to God. This song is to each other. And that's exactly what's going on in Ephesians, addressing one another. So some songs address each other. Psalm 100, right? We read it this morning. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Who's the psalmist talking to? The earth, all the people. Serve the Lord with gladness. Verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. Who's he talking to? He's talking to other people, right? So sometimes when we read psalms, we're talking to each other. Some songs address each other. Some songs dialogue with God. We sing a verse, and in the chorus, it's like we're singing to God. First we're singing to each other, then we're singing to God. I'll give you an example. Turn to 465. Right there. Right, 465. Am I a soldier of the cross? Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Well, who am I? What am I talking to here? Right, I'm talking to God. I'm dialoguing. Am I? Must I be carried? Verse 3. Are there no foes for me to face? Verse 4. Since I must fight, if I would reign, increase my courage, Lord. Now I'm talking to the Lord. I bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by the word. So. These wonderful songs help us dialogue with God, speak to God, and then to speak to each other as well. Did you ever think about that at corporate worship, that we're singing to each other sometimes? Come on, Christian, keep running the race. So, yeah, addressing, speaking. The point here is that our conversations with each other should speak, should sing, should share the Word of God. That's the point. Questions among us should be, what's the Lord said to you this week during your devotions? How has the Word of God corrected you recently? How has God spoke of His love to you this week? Questions like that should be part of our conversations with each other. Singing. The text says we should be singing, not just addressing one another, but we should be singing. Christian singing is the musical use of the voice to express truth that accords with God's word. No, did you see? We're supposed to be addressing each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We're to be using the word of God. It's always word of God saturated. That's our conversation should be. Our singing should be word of God saturated. Making melody. Take some of this. We got to make something here. This is a word that we don't know how to really bring into the English, so we've got to use two words. Making melody. It's melodizing. I just made that up. It's that kind of word. Make something. Well, when you make something, okay, ladies, right? You got a recipe. You got to get some of this. You got to get some of that. You got to get some of this. You got to get some of that. And you mix it together. You make something. Well, what Paul's asking us to do here, commanding us to do, he's telling us this is what flows out of you when you're filled with the Spirit. You start to make melody. Now, for some of us that don't sing very good, i.e. have very bad voices, can't hold a tune in a bushel basket. There's hope here. The Spirit of God's going to help us make melody, so keep working at singing. But I get it. Sometimes that melody just is a quiet tune in our own heart. We'll take some of you. We'll take some of you. And we'll take some of you. And let's come together and stir it together and let's sing together. I love it when your choirs do this four-part harmony. I don't know anything about music much. And I'm sorry for that. I wish I could play this piano or the organ like you, Rita. I wish I could do that stuff. I can't. I'm not gifted there. But some of you are. And so we'll take you and use you in those areas. Get that French horn out. Get that flute out. Get that trumpet out. Yes, we ought to have an orchestra up here sharing the music and help us make melody. And I'm so thankful for those of you here that are choir directors and that can help us with our four-part harmony to sing bass and tenor and soprano. I don't know anything about that, but boy, when I hear it, I love it. Don't you? Thank you that you've got that kind of... That's the grace of God that He's brought to us as a church. We're a singing church, aren't we? Let's keep it up. Let's keep promoting that. Giving thanks, that's what should flow. What sweet music the thankful heart makes. I got a note here to look at page 316. Yeah, 316. Now thank we all our God with heart and hands and voices, who wondrous things has done, in whom His world rejoices, who from our mother's arms has blessed us on our way with countless gifts of love and still is ours today. So let's just get a treetop view of this text a minute and try to get some principles for our music here at Walker. Now I'm here to tell you, I've lived through it. I've lived through some of the worst worship wars churches could have. I could tell you story after story. The very thing that should be flowing from us by being filled by the Spirit of God, i.e. music, is the very thing I've seen rip churches apart. But there are some principles that we could look at for music, and our leadership in the church can guide us in these things. But here's just a few principles. First of all, what did we learn in the text? Songs, the singing of God's people, must always be biblically saturated songs. When we're singing, we should be singing the Word of God as much as possible. Certainly singing good theology. Second, songs must be singable by the congregation. Some songs are not written for a congregation to sing. Some are. And we know it. We rise up to sing these great and glorious songs. But they've got to be singable by the congregation. So music committee, help us with singable songs. Third, all accompaniment is used to support the singing of the congregation. The organ, the piano, the French horn, whatever it is, the guitar, is there to serve us as a congregation to sing. Now listen, note this principle. This accompaniment is not here to entertain us, to wow us. And then next week, we got to think, well, now how are we going to wow the congregation this week? And then the next week, how are we going to wow the congregation? That's a dog chasing the tail. It doesn't work. It's not what it's for. Accompaniment is there to just help us sing better. And I'm so thankful that we have a strong organ to do that, a piano to do that, other talents within the church. So all accompaniment. We're here to support the congregation. So we're not here to entertain you. Can I put it that way? The organist does not come to entertain us. Finally, corporate worship utilizes a mixture of thematic music, like praise music, confession, thanksgiving. That's what our songbook has. all these different categories that we can turn to as we work through the elements of worship and have good singing to support it. Amen? So I don't know. There's just a few principles from our text this morning. But may God keep us here at Walker from any kind of worship wars. Amen? Music, you know, I like this kind and you like that kind and we can get into all kinds of this. That's not the fruit of the Spirit. This is the fruit of the Spirit. Let's come together. So, conclusion. Get filled by the Spirit of God by, write this down. If you're taking notes today, write this down. Here's how you get filled by the Spirit. One way. Pull the plug. What do I mean? Two things need to be drained. First of all, my sin nature. Like, obviously. I want the Spirit of God to fill me. And for Him to fill me, you know what's got to go? Right? If I'm going to put good things in the garage, I'm going to have to clean out the garage. My pride, my self-sufficiency, all that self stuff's got to go. To be filled by the Spirit. So pull the plug, drain the sin nature. Second thing to drain, this might surprise you as I've thought about it, drain the grace of God out of you. You say, Pastor, what in the world do you mean? Don't hoard the grace of God. Share the grace of God. Share the love of God. Share the goodness of God. Here's what I'm finding. The more I turn the valve open, the more God pours into me. The more I close the valve, the less God pours into me. So it's an issue of faith that I've got to trust God to care for others, to move out of my comfort zone and serve others, to love others. Open up the valve. Pull the drain plug. Come on. Share. Keep sharing, congregation. You are. I'm just saying, open the valve up a little more. God will provide. Your cup will overflow. You keep pouring your life into others. God will fill you. Amen? That's the point. So how do I get filled? Pull the plug. Get drained. Drain out the sin nature. And drain the grace of God to serve others and care for one another. And do it with melodious singing. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this text. Much to learn here. Much application for us here at Walker. Thank you for this church, Lord. And Lord, thank you for all the musical talent that's here. And thank you, Lord, for us that don't know much about music, but we sure love it. And we sure love how your Spirit leads us to want to sing. Thank you, Lord, for the book of Psalms, that you would put a songbook in our Bible. Help us to sing these songs to one another, to your praise, as we sing to even our own souls. Lord, may we just saturate.